Plantaholics.
It is.
A podcast.
It's also a podcast. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good.
Talk about plants.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Things and relating to plants.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Pretty. Whatever we want.
Vaguely. Yep. My name's Tori, and this is my lovely co-host. Is co-hostess?
Oh. Wow, I never thought of that.
Is host a masculine verb or adjective? Not a verb.
I think it... Oh, yeah, that would be an No.
Hmm. Pronoun?
Pronoun? No.
This is also a podcast where we discuss words and
the
how to
grammar
use
them.
But thanks for listening. And
yeah.
We'll never see you again.
Nope, this is it.
But if you do stay on, we will be talking about a topic. What is the topic, Taylor?
If you made it through this. This will be airing around Halloween time. So we wanted to discuss just various plants that are related to this, not just Halloween, but all these holidays that kind of fall in this time period of the year. So we're going to kind of touch on six, seven different plants or so. Mm-hmm. And kind of bring some back relating to some of these holidays. So looking at Halloween, looking at the pagan holiday Samhain, looking at Diwali, looking at Dia de los Muertos. Just kind of going a little bit of an origin story there and all the plants that kind of go along with this this time of year, this holiday.
Would you call them a fall-a-day?
Oh, God. I feel like the fall puns really need to stop. Not just you, but
are they
everywhere.
Falling short? Is that why?
They really are. Not gorgeous enough to continue.
Okay.
So I guess we should start off with our weekly planner action here. Mm-hmm. Did you want to go first, Tori?
Yes.
Anything
in
mind?
I shall go first today.
All right.
And today, not today, yeah, this week, I was interacted with a plant through an amazing different avenue. It hit me through the mail.
Ooh.
So it's pretty cool. I did not order a plant through the mail. That's too obvious. Good guess.
Okay.
but I got like one of those, I thought it was going to be junk mail from. Like from a bank, one of my banks or something, and they sent paper money that had seeds in it.
Oh,
and it was the coolest thing because you're like, oh, if you, gave me instructions on how to plant this dollar and grow money. It was the cutest thing.
That's super cute.
And they had the greatest.
That's how they get you.
It's how they get me. I mean, I already have a bank with them, so I don't know what they're trying to get me to do.
But, invest your seed money.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I think the pun was like, watch your money grow with our investment opportunities, maybe, or something.
And then, if they didn't say seed money, that's just a missed opportunity.
Yeah.
So my planner action for this week, it was technically probably a week and a half ago at this point, but
we're
don't
not
need to
counting.
Know that.
Yeah, nope. Now they do.
Shh.
Forget what we said.
Never mind. So about, I think it was in January, I went to the plant section of Home Depot, and they had these passion fruit vines on sale.
Oh,
and
that's right.
Yeah. They were essentially like sticks with, you know, maybe five or six leaves on them, and they're really cheap. So I was like, you know what? These are going to be beautiful. It was a passion fruit. I can't remember the exact variety now, but it's one with like the red petals and the purple. Basically, like the inside of the flower is purple. Just absolutely gorgeous. Most of my passion fruit vines are Frederick passion fruit vines. So this was a different one. Mm-hmm. But I was very excited about it. And I watered it all the time with my compost tea and my worm tea. I was like, just wait. And then it flowered this last week.
Oh, that's
so I was
so
very,
great.
Very happy. It filled out. It's looking great. Hopefully
you
get some fruit.
It.
I know. I'm very excited.
Is the fruit taste any different? Or is it?
I haven't tried it yet. Okay. It's only flowered. I honestly am not sure. I don't think it would have appeared yet. But I'll have to check it and see if it's any of them got pollinated. So if we want to dive in, so
or essentially fall how, in oh, to our topic.
Lord. No, no.
Have you been abused in the past by fall puns?
I don't know. I just feel like they're especially
punny,
cringy. I don't know. I don't know what it is. Like, I think it's mainly it's because of John Oliver. Like, he always has a segment where he lists, like, or he just shows, like, all the newscasters and their fall puns. It was just people saying, "It's fall, y'all." It was like every single host of any show ever just said that like 9 times, and it was just so painful.
You're right.
Anyway,
I agree.
Otherwise, I don't want
to bring that PTSD up to the surface. So I'm down. I'll cut off the fall puns for now. I don't want to further traumatize.
Leave me alone.
Yep.
Yes. Yeah. So we were kind of talking about going about this in a sort of a way where I want to describe some of these holidays, because some people may not be totally familiar with kind of this very interesting, to me anyway, right. This very interesting time of year and how separately all of these different sort of festivals about death and the harvest and things like that, how all around the world these things were developed like pretty much totally independently from what I can tell. So it's pretty cool.
I love that.
Yeah. Just so I kind of went down a rabbit hole, mainly researching marigolds, which is my first plant that I wanted to go over with you guys. So we'll kind of use that as a guide while we're going through all these different holidays and seeing how they sort of link together. But I'll probably just go through the timeline as far as kind of when these holidays first started to appear and what country that they started to appear and use that to kind of link that together with the whole marigold thing.
Perfect.
So what's kind of interesting is they are native to Central America, generally in the Mexico areas where they're the most prevalent as far as their use in rituals. Which dates back to the Aztecs, generally in the 1100s to anywhere in the 1500s. So that's kind of the range of that that first thing. But going even farther back, because we can.
Why not?
Yeah. So the pretty much, as far as I can tell, one of the very first festivals celebrating this period of time. Again, really a lot of the origins of almost all of these holidays is some sort of harvest festival.
Yeah.
In this case, it's a fire festival, which is a pagan tradition. In this case, is it Celtic or Celtic?
Ooh, I've heard it both ways.
All right. I'll stick with Celtic. That's usually what I
say. Usually they don't pronounce S's or C's or...
Yeah, right? I think that's a thing. Yeah. All right. So we're going back to Europe. We're starting in Europe with the holiday Samhain. So it's a pagan holiday. Generally, most of the pagan holidays are attributed to the Celtics in Ireland, as far as kind of the going as far back as we can think here. So this is looking at anywhere between 600 BC to 43 AD. That's kind of their reign was during the Iron Age. Basically, pagan holidays follow the solar calendar. So it's a series of celebrations either about solstices, so the summer and winter solstices, or the equinoxes, which would be the autumn and spring equinoxes. And then in between each of these holidays, essentially in the midpoint between whenever they fall in the calendar year, they have what are called fire festivals. And Samhain is the one that falls on October 31st, usually through November 2nd. And that's the most major fire festival of the year, typically. It's actually a pagan new year.
Okay.
That's usually sense. When... Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's kind of when it started off as a celebration of the very last harvest of the year. It was literally, there are some accounts of 3 straight days of drinking and just feasting.
Yes.
Just partying as hard as you can.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're getting ready to hibernate. Yeah. Some of the sort of typical celebrations that started to happen. So it was the last day of harvest, so mm-hmm. people would kind of spend the day out in the fields picking the very last of their crops. Right. They would let a fire in their hearth just die out during the day, so they would leave it to kind of smolder and die. And then they'd have these huge bonfires. So that's one big thing about pagan holidays. There's always going to be a fire no matter what. Yes. But on Samhain, there's fire. Usually these big community bonfires. And part of it, they would take home, they take a stick after the festivities right. were done. They'd take that home and they'd relight their fire in their house once
that.
It was done.
Like, that, so it's like yeah. the special fires, not just
yeah,
the,
yeah.
That's like cool.
Relighting for the
right
once the days start getting darker and mm-hmm. just kind of an interesting time. But some of the other traditions included they would actually dress as animals typically okay. and just different monsters. There were a few specific monsters that were Pooka is one of them. Anyway,
oh yeah, I know what the Pooka is.
Oh yeah.
Isn't it like I thought it was
like a wolf hybrid or something.
Oh, I thought it was a horse.
In this case, it's a shapeshifter.
Oh, okay.
So it's that's just a bunch of different. It does say horse. Horse, dog, rabbit, goat, or goblin. Or even an old man.
Okay, well, lots of options.
Yeah, shapeshifter, so I guess that makes sense.
It's pretty
covers
cute.
All the bases there. It very well could be.
Yeah.
It could be whatever it desires.
I guess so.
So I kind of going back, which again, it's something that kind of links all of these holidays around this time of year. But the pagans, like many other cultures, believe that this was the time when kind of the veil was the thinnest between this world and the next. So they would be on the lookout for fairies. And they also believe that maybe their ancestors would come and visit them during this time. So they actually started what is called dumb suppers, which is where they have their, you know, dinner time, normal dinner time during the day, or evening, not day. and they'd have the kids play, and they'd actually leave out extra food for their ancestors, and they'd kind of go around the table and talk about what happened that year to kind of catch them up on their lives.
I love this. I want to celebrate this.
And it's my favorite holiday. Yeah. they also started the tradition of carving turnips into jack-o'-lanterns, which is kind of the first, the origin of the jack-o'-lantern in general. We'll get more into that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Tori has something to tell us about pumpkins. So,
yes, I do. And the other history squashes. The origin myth that started the whole carving of the jack-o'-lantern.
Perfect.
Or the jack-o'-turnip, if you are.
Yes, yes.
Going back far enough.
Exactly. So that's kind of a just various traditions that started in there. Also part of dressing as like the monsters were to scare away fairies and to make sure that they weren't kidnapped by any spirits and things like that.
Right.
So that was kind of the animal skins or whatever they would wear to scare whatever away that might take them.
Cool.
So that's where a lot of even our traditions today come from. I believe they even had some form of trick-or-treating where the kids would go around and ask for food or sweets or something like that during that time as well. So almost all of our current Halloween traditions have some roots in Samhain and these Celtic pagan roots. And you'll find that a lot of Christian holidays especially have a lot of roots in the, not necessarily the background and the meaning behind them, but the actual traditions that, these Christian or missionaries or whoever were trying to force people to convert, they would let them keep their pagan traditions to try to, calm them down
right.
a little bit. And
like, fine, you can keep
appease
your
tree. The masses. Yeah, exactly. You can have a tree indoors. I don't know what you guys are doing, but all right. Knock yourself out. So this is probably the one holiday where marigolds in particular aren't highly associated. There's a lot more, it's more of a modern thing, if anything, where marigolds themselves are kind of have magical associations with protection. Mm-hmm. They're meant to represent the sun in these kind of pagan traditions. And they're often used for funeral arrangements and memorials. And again, just they're flowering during this time of year. So it makes sense why they're just kind of a commonly used plant in general. Right. But you will find, you know, people who still celebrate Samhain, you know, they'll have marigolds and things like that, but it doesn't have a lot of roots in the traditions of Samhain. It's right. more of a modern interpretation. Like we'll kind of go through the rest of these cultures as well and go through that too. But it's definitely in use. It's just not something that was originally brought into this holiday. So I did want to go through, just because this popped up a couple times, the All Saints Day.
Okay.
So this is a holiday. It actually started as a Feast of Martyrs. It's a Christian holiday that was originally proposed to be in May. It was actually another one that was supposed to kind of appease the pagans, like when the Christians took over. They didn't really approve of the whole death celebration in October thing. So they're like, okay, you can have your whatever feast day, but it's going to be in May and you're going to like it.
Yeah.
That didn't work so well.
No. First of all, like, that defeats the whole purpose of the feasting part.
Yeah. And they still did it. Yeah. So it didn't really help anyone.
I can imagine, like, wait a second. Is this your holiday? Is this bonfire holiday related? Right? Like, no, this is just a normal day fire holiday.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Why are you wearing animal skins? Yeah. I don't know.
As long as it's not holiday related.
better guarantee that.
We'll see you in May.
Exactly. Keep that fire going. Yeah.
On that hot May day.
Yeah, right? It's like, well, okay, I have no idea. And that's very close to the pagan holiday of Beltane, too. Oh, so it's like, why would, that's not even a good, they were probably just celebrating Beltane. And they're like,
oh, yeah, they're like, all right. We're doing it. That's so great.
So that was in, I think, the year 300 AD, somewhere in there. Or BCE, I'm sorry. I don't like using AD. BCE. Right. And by the, I think it was the year 730 BCE, when Pope Gregory was the Pope, he reinstated. Oh yeah,
old Gregory.
He was the one who actually put back. They still called it All Saints Day. Mm-hmm. He put it back on October 31st through November 2nd, okay. So the exact days as the typical pagan festival. Mm-hmm. And they're called All Hallows Eve, which is kind of our modern Halloween. That was kind of a nickname for it. And All Saints Day is actually the 1st of November, and then All Souls Day is the 2nd of November. Mm-hmm. It was supposed to celebrate all of the saints, hence All Saints Day.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, really, I went out of limb on that one. Yep. So that was kind of the intention of it, was to be more of a biblical celebration, but they're like, you know, everyone's going to celebrate on this day anyway, let's just put it back on that day and call it this.
Let's stop pretending that we have any authority.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, well, they're still pretending that they're celebrating Jesus, but hey, that's a whole other thing, I'm sure. and again, linking this towards marigolds, which is trying to link this in as much as I can. Mm-hmm. The name marigold actually came from Europe. Okay. I'll talk about that right after this, but the Spanish Inquisition essentially was the one to bring back marigold seeds from Central America.
Oh, okay.
So they brought them back to Spain first. They kind of spread throughout Europe. And then the name marigold came about from the Virgin Mary. Because everything has to be related to Christianity.
Yep. And virgins.
Or Catholicism, whatever. Yeah, and virgins, you know, why not? Meaning Mary's gold. So, marigold. That was their, you know.
Another clever name. Because
the flower's gold. Yes.
They're so good at that.
So that's kind of the European. It was kind of a middle ground of between bringing this over from Central America. Not any strong associations with All Saints Day in particular. Mm-hmm. Again, that's it's a very odd holiday where it's not really meant to be celebrated. I'm sure some people celebrated it seriously, but for anyone who really knows what's going on, not really a big link there. Mm-hmm. Now we're going to look at Diwali. So going to India, this holiday was said to originate in around 500 to somewhere in between 500 to 1000 BCE. Mm-hmm. It was most likely a combination of various harvest festivals throughout India. They kind of, you know, all the different areas had their own sort of celebrations, and this one kind of came together eventually as Diwali, and now it's pretty much celebrated. It kind of started as like a Hindu festival, and now it's, regardless of religion, it's celebrated pretty much throughout the country, as more of a festival of light. So Diwali typically, not typically, it always occurs on the new moon, which usually falls in some range of the October-November months. So it actually is all based on the lunar calendar. So we kind of went over how pagan holidays are more based on the solar calendar with the solstices, equinoxes. This is actually based on the solar calendar. So it's not at the same time each year. Oh my God, yeah, the lunar calendar. I don't know why I have a really hard time differentiating that in my head. They change into the same word. So correct me again if I do that again. So yeah, anyway, it's just a little bit of a different, you know, it just doesn't fall within our standardized calendar that somehow the world decided
that was
this
the way
is what
to
we're
go.
Gonna do.
We're gonna stick with it forever.
Yeah, and here we are.
Yeah.
So it kind of had its roots as more of a again, sort of an agricultural with the harvest festival type celebration, where people would seek the blessing of Lakshmi, which is the goddess of wealth. Okay. So usually it's a celebration over about 5 days, as opposed to the typical kind of three with Dia de los Muertos and Samhain and things like that. What's interesting as far as the marigolds, they were first seen around 350 years ago.
Okay.
So, you know, we're talking, this holiday was what did we decide?
I don't remember. Agreed upon.
Somewhere in 500 to 1000 BCE, but only about 350 years ago did marigolds actually make it to India.
Oh, okay.
So it's relatively recent in invention. No.
Discovery,
adaptation. I don't know.
Yeah.
but now it's very much ingrained in Diwali celebrations. Again, after the Spanish kind of brought this over. One thing I thought was a good comparison. If you think of the chili pepper, you can't really think of a lot of Asian foods without chili pepper, but that's another Central American crop that wasn't brought over until the spice trade. So there's a lot of things that we like really associate with a country. It's like, oh yeah, that wasn't always there.
Yeah.
one thing I found interesting though, it might've actually replaced a native spice called pepali.
Oh,
So it was something that obviously had a spice to it. It wasn't a pepper, but it was kind of similar, probably closer to like our black pepper than a chili pepper, but it had some spice to it, so that's kind of the theory anyway as far as how that kind of got integrated into there as well. The marigold is usually referred to as Genda. I'm probably not saying that right, but that's kind of their version of the common name, whereas the Aztec, so the Aztec referred to it as Cempasúchil. Another common name for Mexico would be Flor de Muerto, or again the Genda for India. So just some of the kind of more common names.
Yeah.
But anyway, with the Diwali celebrations, there's often family gatherings. They light these kind of clay lamps or other a lot of light involved. Let's go with that. And again, sort of linking that back to Samhain. Again, these are not related at all, but it is a fire festival.
Yeah.
there's often fireworks. There's often bonfires. Even, again, flowers and various sweets and things like that are exchanged. And again, that's why it is also known as a festival of light. So there's often candlelit, you know, whether they're releasing candles into a pond or something, or there's usually some element of the lantern lighting. So that's all part of that. But anyway, that's Diwali in a very quick nutshell. Nice. And moving on to the original use of the Aztecs.
Yeah.
So we're looking at modern day Mexico. We're looking again at 1100 BCE to around 1500 BCE before the Spanish actually conquered the Aztec community. That's not the right
civilization.
Yeah, thank you. Jesus. So the Aztecs were actually the very first civilization to use marigolds to in any really extent, because this is where the plant was native to. They actually cultivated the flowers, produced different varieties for bigger blooms. One of the main festivals that they actually used this for, and I couldn't find anywhere that sort of guaranteed that it was around this time of year, but they had a festival dedicated to the goddess, and I don't even know if I can attempt to pronounce this, but I'm going to, I apologize so much in advance.
Mitlantecuhtli, God of death.
Whose role was essentially to guard the bones of the dead.
Okay.
I couldn't really find anything if it was in this October 31st time period, if that's when they celebrated, but that was what they originally used these marigolds for. They used them during funerals. They would actually cover bodies with them, which actually that's could have served a practical purpose, because it's an insect repellent.
Smart.
Some gardeners might be aware of that. You often are suggested to plant marigolds in your gardens to ward off pests. So that's something that has held true, and I'm sure they realized those properties. They actually used just the flowers in general, mostly the oil from the flowers, as medicine as well. There are even some accounts, which was really interesting. The first written account of marigold use is in the what is believed to be America's earliest medical book.
Gray's Anatomy?
Not quite. It is called the Badanius Manuscript, an Aztec herbal of 1552. It was actually compiled by two Native Americans at the College of Santa Cruz at the time.
Go slugs. Bananas.
Yeah. I think a different one.
Oh.
Probably in Mexico.
Oh, dang it, Tori.
That's what I'm guessing. I guess I could be wrong. Was anyone in? I mean, not anyone. I guess they could have had it. I have no idea.
I don't know. What year is this that they developed?
1552.
Okay, yeah, I don't think that UC Santa Cruz was around in 1552.
No.
I take it back.
I'm just going to go out on a limb and assume it was in Mexico somewhere.
It's a good, strong limb.
So it was actually written in an original Aztec language and was since translated.
Definitely not UC Santa Cruz.
No. Not in 1552. No. I'm not sure. That was where they kind of had an account of how the Aztecs were using the flowers. Mm-hmm. So again, they had some of the description of how they were breeding the flowers, as well as they were using them from anything for funerals, and as far as medicinally, to cure hiccups even heal those struck by lightning were two very obscure uses for this herb.
I didn't know you could cure lightning strikes.
I didn't know either. I still find it fascinating anyone lives through that. But
yeah, I could see it if you got if it goes through you. I mean,
yeah. Yeah, I guess it depends on where you're standing and what you're standing on.
As long as there's a holly bush nearby. Out, yeah.
Yep.
I could see it, but it's also intense. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I just want to know what it feels like.
I do not. Although I do want, like, the imprint of the lightning on me. Oh, I think that would be my super gosh. Cool.
That's it. That's the way I want to go. I want to be struck by lightning. I feel like I can handle it.
You want to die from it, or you just want to be struck by lightning?
I could go both ways. If I had to die, lightning taking me out would be okay.
You just said you felt like you could handle it. So yeah, I could, wait, does that mean?
I could handle dying by it. I could handle living by it. I don't know. Just
I feel like it'd be pretty quick, at least.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's like a really quick.
I don't know.
The accounts I've read seems like it's not. I mean, it's terrible, but it's like really fast.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. That's true.
Anyways, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm down for lightning.
All good. Yeah, sounds good.
Smite me.
Yes. If I haven't been smited, you will never be smited. Let's leave it at that. So, anyway, so this was kind of the original usage by the Aztecs. Like I said, eventually the Spanish came over, basically took over in the 1550s. Mm-hmm. But after that, they ended up bringing this plant back to Europe. And this was one question that I was able to answer because I was very confused. I never said the species name. It's Tahiti's erecta is the marigold that we're talking about specifically, because there are various types. When they took it back to Europe, there were additional cultivars that were created mainly by the French, as well as in Africa. There ended up being some cultivars. So sometimes you'll see French marigolds, or even what's confusing is sometimes this is called the Mexican marigold, Tahiti's erecta, but sometimes for some reason, they sometimes call it the African marigold.
Interesting.
Even though it's Tahiti's erecta. It's not the same species. It's just, you know how people are.
They like to make it really confusing for no reason.
Yeah, just common names, just
stupid.
No, it's ridiculous. So anyway, if you ever do see it sometimes listed as African marigold, there's probably just a little bit of confusion because that's a different species. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so we can move on to Día de los Muertos now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is one of my favorite holidays as well, because I feel like it really kind of links in with Samhain anyway, as far as some of those traditional, speaking of as far as talking to the dead. What's cool is from the original Aztec celebration, it's kind of a blend of Catholicism influences. Mm-hmm. Again, after the Spanish came through, they brought in a lot of these Catholic influences, and one of those influences, like we just talked about, was All Saints Day. Mm-hmm. So I think that's why the Day of the Dead is celebrated on these particular days, which is October 31st. Day of the Dead is typically on November 1st, celebrations often go over into the 2nd. So this is kind of the origin as far as why it's celebrated on those days was the Catholic influence. Mm-hmm. But same going back to the Aztec holiday, and something that is still prevalent today. They really truly believe that mourning the dead was kind of offensive, almost.
Right.
They needed to celebrate their life, not, you know, get stuck in mourning. So this is something that spirit of that is still very prevalent in the Day of the Dead celebration. So essentially during this holiday, anyone in your family who is deceased, you're supposed to basically have a big party. Often this occurs at even the grave sites of your loved ones, or just kind of with photos of them or something to kind of keep their memory alive.
Sorry to interrupt. There's also a lot of cultures that believe that if you grieve too much, or if you mourn too much, you're actually trapping their souls on earth and not letting them ascend. So that's why it's part of it is a problem, because you're not letting them, you're keeping them grounded. And that's why they think there's ghosts and such, is that they're not
that
being
sense.
Properly let
yeah,
go.
You're keeping
you're,
them.
You're keeping yeah, them there. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's a lot of pressure.
I know. It's like, you got to let it, you got to stop. You have to accept,
let
it go and just celebrate their life and not mourn them and grieve too much to trap their souls on earth. But Yeah.
I mean, I guess that's a good attitude.
Yeah.
A lot of pressure, but it makes sense.
I mean, you can still grieve, but you just...
Yeah.
You can't... Yeah.
Excessively.
Right.
Don't let it stop your life.
Exactly.
That's good. So again, with these parties, often there's food, usually whatever the deceased, maybe their favorite meal or something to kind of call them back and have that celebration with them in a way. So it's that's kind of the general ethos of the holiday. And marigolds are still a big part of the celebrations today. Kind of the symbolism about it. The fragrance is said to attract souls to the altars or the ofrendas that are created, again, with the food, with the decorations, things like that. Mm-hmm. Marigolds are a very large part of that, in addition to other flowers, too. I'm not right. trying to claim this is a catch-all for... we're not going to be able to get into all of these things.
Right.
But the kind of cheery color, like the orange or bright yellow, it's also meant to celebrate life, just kind of as far as the symbolism of the color. Even paper marigolds often are used as kind of a symbolic gesture as well. And some people actually create a little path from their home to the altar, the ofrenda, for their spirits to be able to find it.
Right.
So that's kind of the use of marigolds in that context.
And if anyone saw the movie Coco, that entire bridge was made out of marigolds. So great.
I was going to say, this is probably totally irrelevant because everyone's seen Coco.
Such a good movie. Yeah. I liked it.
Oh, it's amazing. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's so, so beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're down to Halloween. Mm-hmm. God, this is the last holiday, at least, that I'm going to go over.
Sounds good.
Halloween didn't necessarily start up right away after colonization. New Englanders, there were a lot of Protestants, and that wasn't really much of a thing.
Right.
It started out as kind of, for those who even acknowledged it, they kind of just sat around and told stories about deceased loved ones or their ancestors and pretty low key, right. as far as that goes. So it wasn't really until the 1800s that it kind of started to evolve into small gatherings. And, you know, again, still sharing stories, but they kind of added like ghost stories to it, trying to make it a little bit more fun for the kids, right. probably. And then kind of mischief making and pranks and things like that started to become sort of prevalent in that as well. And that's actually something that was fairly common even in Samhain as well, the pagan holiday. That was kind of part of it. I think one of them was like, some people would like steal each other's cows or something. Like, it was just like something so great. I can't remember exactly the stories that I was reading, but so it's been going on a while.
Right.
So the kind of slowly these old pagan traditions were kind of reintroduced into American Halloween. So and again, that Halloween came from the All Saints Day, All Hallows Eve. And they still celebrate it in America on the 31st. So it's still has some roots, a little bit of the Christianity, a little bit of the Samhain.
Right.
It all kind of comes together. It wasn't until kind of the late 1800s, some of the pranks started to get out of control. Some of the more religious, I'm sure, people in charge were not so fit, like, not much of a fan of kind of the frightening or grotesque parts of Halloween that were celebrated, especially with the costumes and things like that. So kind of by the late 1800s, they sort of started to remove the superstition and the religious kind of aspects of it. And vandalism actually was starting to become an issue for a lot of people.
Yeah.
So especially in the early 1900s, that was a big thing. The one person I wanted to talk about was Elizabeth Krebs. So she is, I think it was in Virginia. She was the founder of the Hiawatha Garden Club in Hiawatha, Virginia. So every year, all the neighborhood kids would come and trash her garden on Halloween.
Okay.
And she was getting absolutely pissed off about it. And I think it was mainly her roses. Like, she loved her roses. And every single year, like, they would just destroy her whole garden.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, crazy, right? Yeah. So she decided to kind of host the first town-wide Halloween parade and frolic, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. That was what they called it, was a frolic. So essentially this meant live music. She had everyone, I think she provided some costumes and had everyone encouraged to come in costume. They had a costume contest every year. And it's been going on over 100 years now. It's the oldest Halloween celebration in the United States, at least. Run like consecutive running since 1914. Mm-hmm. So I thought she was kind of a cool lady. Yeah. And they stopped vandalizing her garden. There so everyone won. And they had a great new tradition, and all the kids had a lot of fun.
Yeah, and it's kind of cool that you bring up the vandalism, because have you heard of Mischief Night?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So apparently that's like, it still goes on today. Like, I hear it brought up by people like who grew up in certain states, but apparently it kind of comes from the same time period, like in the 1790. Mm-hmm. Like, it was a headmaster let school, like a group of students out, and they started vandalizing stuff, and it actually became a celebration since. And so it's literally where it's vandalism. That's pretty much the all it is. And they like work, and now it lives up to today, apparently, like both in the UK and the US. And usually it's the night before Halloween. So, like, in the UK, it's the night before, because they've separated trick or treat. Trick is the first day, and then treat is the second.
Right.
I don't know if that's the same in the US, but it's like, apparently, generally, it's an informal holiday nowadays, mm-hmm. but it's generally mm-hmm. recognized in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and Michigan. Like, those states specifically. Yeah. And, like, it's super
where there's nothing else to do.
Oh, yeah. Why not? Yeah. And so, like, there's obvious typical vandalism, like toilet papering buildings and powder bombing, egging cars, and smashing pumpkins, a typical Halloween vandalism. Also, like, some knock-knock pranks and stuff like that.
Oh, sure.
But, like, it's gotten to the point where grocery stores won't sell eggs to teenagers at this time of year for that reason.
I love it.
But yeah, but then it comes at, it's got a bunch of different, it's also called like Mat Night, Cabbage Night, Moving Night, Goosey Night, Devil's Night, Gate Night.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard a few of those variations, but it's my favorite part of that is like, we have not changed since 600 CE.
Yeah.
Like, that is just, there's something comforting and kind somewhat of saddening about it.
But
in this case, it's great.
I never knew about it until I heard it on another podcast I listened to, where they were talking about Mischief Night, and I'm like, what the heck is Mischief Night?
Right? I don't think I was ever invited to that.
No, apparently it's like really big in some states. But
sure. Yeah. That's funny. That was pretty cool. Yep. Yeah, a lot of these traditions that kind of carry on. It's people are very strange.
Yeah, they hold on to some things for an unusually long amount of time.
Exactly. Sometimes for the better, most of the time not.
Yeah.
As usual, we find ourselves at almost an hour mark and still more to talk about. So we will talk to you guys next week. We won't make you wait 2 weeks, mm-hmm. but we'll air this on probably on Day of the Dead or the day before. We'll figure that out. All but thank you for listening. I hope this was somewhat informative.
Yeah.
We got through one plant.
We did. There's more to come. Hold on to your pukas. We're coming.
Oh, God. Do you want to do a pun battle?
Let's do a...
finish this off here.
A pun battle. Should we use the word fall, or would that cause too much trouble?
Oh, my God. Fine. Okay, just fall puns, all right?
I feel like we started that way. We got to finish it this way.
That's true. Okay. That's true.
Ready? All right. Fall puns?
I'll get a clock.
Let's just get it out of our systems.
Go.
I'm really falling in love with all of these fall puns.
Oh, I think you're gorgeous, but it's getting a little corny.
You're the apple of my eye.
Aw. I would cider with you.
Oh, that's a good
but
one.
I don't agree. Hey! Think of a pun!
Like a trying to do, I got you there, like a cord maze.
Gotta thing. Bail you out.
Yeah, there you go. It's amazing how well you did that.
Why, thank you. Didn't scare crow you away.
I like it. Well, aren't you a cute little pumpkin?
And that's time.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Plantaholics.
Hope you can join us next week for more plant talk.
In the meantime, you can check us out on Instagram and Facebook or visit our website at plantaholicspodcast.com.
Thanks, everyone.
See you next time.